Let you remain standing tonight as we read our text together tonight. And we're going right back to the same verse of Scripture tonight that we used on Sunday night service at Psalm 137 and verse number 1. Psalm 137. I'm sorry, 127. Psalm 127 and verse number 1. Want to go right back there tonight and more or less pick up around the thought that we were preaching on Sunday night. A little difference this time. And try to bring what I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart for tonight. I am going to preach out of 1 Peter chapter 1 on some things, not an entire message, but I will be expounding somewhat on the doctrine of election, Lord willing, on Sunday night, God being my helper. And I know it's a controversial doctrine in the Bible, but there is a truth behind it that needs to be expounded to the people of God. And I want to do my best to do it justice. And it may be more of a Sunday school lesson than anything else, but no, I won't do it Sunday night. I will not do it Sunday night. Or next Tuesday night. Dr. Blue will be here with us. So you're off the hook for another week. So I got an extra week to prepare. All right, Psalm 127 again tonight. And verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to preach. I pray you'll bless me and help me. Help me, Lord, to refrain from saying anything that God would be displeased with. Help me to say all things that the Spirit of God would want me to say. And I do pray that you'll work in our hearts collectively tonight, Lord, as your people, to draw us closer unto thee. Help us to shun the sin and shed the sin that does so easily beset us. And help us to run with patience the race that is set before us. Help us in these last days to take a strong stand against sin. Help us never to compromise the doctrines of the Word of God. Help us tonight, Lord, I pray, to fellowship with you in the Word. May the hearts of God's people engage in fellowship with you, and may our hearts be tender and open and receptive to the will and the Word of God. May the Holy Ghost of God speak and do a great work for us. I ask you tonight, Lord, to move upon those that are here without God, that tonight that they might be quickened by the power of the Spirit of God, they might be born again by the Word of God, and be birthed into your family. Revive and bless and refresh the people of God. Magnify Jesus' name. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you now. And you may be seated. I want to read that verse one more time. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, I preached out of that verse of Scripture on Sunday evening in our service here. And by the help and grace of God, I want to preach on it again tonight. And I may preach on it even one more time if the Lord would let me do that. But I want to try to preach, and you pray for me tonight that God would help me. I want to try to be an encouragement to you as a family, as not only a family of God, but as a family that serves God. And Brother Robert's giving me the high sign back there. And I want to try, if the Lord would help me tonight, to preach for a little while on the thought. And I alluded to this Sunday night. But I want to preach on building sandcastles. Building sandcastles. Building those things that will not stand in the storms of life, in temptation and trial, but will crumble and fall and be washed away underneath our feet and leave us standing, as the songwriter said, in the ashes. And there are two things that are mentioned in this verse that cannot be accomplished by mere human intellect and reasoning. In fact, the Bible says that all our efforts are in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build that house are laboring in vain. And except the Lord watch the city, or keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And except the Lord does these things for us, then our efforts are totally in vain. One of these things is to protect the city, and the other is to build the house. And it's the first part of this that I want to look at today, where the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now the word except is an unusual little word. It not only implies that the Lord is the only master builder, but also that man will try various means and ways to build that which is beyond his capabilities. And I mentioned somewhat on Sunday night how that there are men that have tried to build churches under their own power and by their own strength and by their own means, and their efforts have totally failed. I say this in love, and I don't say it in an angrily way at all. But those of you that remember the old temple know quite well that the church was basically built around singing. And every church has got to have good music in it. But I'm telling you, a preacher that would try to build God's house on singing is trying to build something in a vain way. It's got to be built by the Lord. And there's some things that the Lord uses, and he will not detour, or he will not move away from those things. And I say, one of those things is the preaching of the Word of God. I'll guarantee you, if you put the preeminence on preaching, God will put his presence in the church. Amen to God. He is chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, thank God for good singing. I got to be quite honest with you. While Miss Sheridan and Miss Hall was singing that song tonight, I had some of them Baptist goosebumps running up and down my spine. In His time, God will answer our prayers in His time. And He's never late and He's never early. Our God is always on time, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm telling you, while they were singing that, it just seemed to run some goose pimples up and down my spine. And the church has got to have a good singing. But I'm here to tell you that if all we did was come together and sing, the church would never get off the ground. Amen. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And those that were scattered abroad on the persecution of Stephen, the Bible said they went everywhere preaching the word. Thank God for preaching. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, preaching has gotten old to me. Well, maybe you need to get saved. Amen. It's never gotten old to me. I've never gotten tired of preaching, and I've never gotten tired of listening to preaching. Amen. There's only two kinds of preaching that makes me want to preach. Good and bad. Amen. They both make me want to try to do a little bit of preaching. Amen. Thank God for old time preaching. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And that word, hey, and man will try various means to build the church. But I want to say tonight that men will also go about to various ways of trying to build their home. You remember I said that the word house there literally means a family dwelling. And there's only two family dwellings upon this earth. That is for the family of God, and that's the church. And there's for our family, and that is the home. And just like some men will go about various ways to try to build a church and get God in the church, men will go about various ways to try to build their own home, their own family dwelling.
Now, I'm telling you, you hear what I'm saying. Except the Lord build your house, ladies and gentlemen, you will labor in vain that build it. Amen. I've seen them that have tried to build their home, in various ways outside of what God lays down in that Bible. And I'm telling you, it will not work. It will not work. Men will go about just about every way to try to build their home. But I'm telling you, if you use an old King James 16:11 Bible and follow what God lays down in the Bible, your family will stand the test of time. I'm telling you tonight that families all over America are crumbling underneath the pressure of the devil. They're falling under the onslaught of Satan. And they are because men have built sandcastles rather than building a house. Amen to God. They built something that is made out of sand. When the winds came, and when the rain fell and the winds came, that house fell. And the Bible said great was the fall of it. And it fell because man tried to build it rather than letting God build that house. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you my encouragement for every family in here. Be to pray and seek God and get God in your home. Amen. Amen. It's not enough to have God at the church. Yes. I'm going to say this. You can have God at the church. But if you don't have God at your house when you get there, that house won't stand, ladies and gentlemen. She'll fall and crumble underneath your feet. Hallelujah. It takes both ways. That's amen. That's right. Except the Lord build the house of God, and except the Lord build our house, they that labor in vain that build it. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. The word house has a wide variety of applications. But the primary definition, as I said, is a dwelling place of a family. And the only two family dwellings that I'm familiar with are the home and the house of God. And both of these belong to the Lord. Do you hear what I said? The home and the house of God, they both belong unto the Lord. In fact, He instituted both of them. Amen. And only He has the wisdom to build them. He is a great architect. He is a great designer. He is a great master builder. God knows what it takes in your home to build your home. Now, I'm going to say, can I say this? It takes basically the same thing to build your home as it does to build the house of God. Prayer, preaching, and praising. Amen, the darling Lamb of God. I guarantee you, if you carry Jesus home with you, amen, and learn to praise Him and have prayer time in your home. Amen. And read the Bible and pray in your home with your family. God can build your house for you and build a house that will stand all the tests of time. Hallelujah. Telling it right. We got young couples in here tonight. We got young children. Teenage children. And I'm telling you better learn the right. You better learn the recipe. You better come on in the house now. You better learn the recipe. In Genesis 2, the home was first put together in Genesis 2. And he began building the church in his earthly ministry. Now that's right. And he said in Matthew 16:18 that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Amen. Now let me say this also before I bring the message. Both the home and the house of God have been under a relentless attack by the devil since their beginning. And those that were built by the Lord have been attacked, but they've been sustained, while others have crumpled underneath the pressure. Amen. I've seen it happen down through my lifetime. You let God depart out of your home, and I guarantee you it'll fall. But brother, you keep Jesus in your home. Amen. Raise up your children around the Word of God in the home. Learn to have a prayer altar in the home. Learn to pray in the home. You men get educated in the Bible and learn to teach the Bible in the home. To your families in the home. I'll guarantee your home will stand, ladies and gentlemen. If it is built upon the Word of God, it'll have to stand. Amen. That's right. Not on my opinion and not on your opinion. One fellow said, opinions like armpits. Everybody's got a couple of them. They both stink. That's right. But your opinion ain't going to get the job done.
Right.
Putting your family in the will of God, under the Word of God,
amen,
that home will stand.
But I'm
telling you that the devil is out to deceive and to destroy every God-fearing family in America if he can do so. You let down your guard and you find out what he does.
Amen.
Come on in the house now.
Yeah.
Come on in the house. The home the Lord is building. What's it got to have? Well, it ain't going to get no easier, so we might as well just plow on down through it and be done with it. A home must have an authority.
Amen.
It must have an authority. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man.
Amen.
There are two offices of authority mentioned here, Christ and the man.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you why a lot of homes are like sandcastles. Come on in the house now. I'm about to preach a little while. I'm going to tell you why most homes are like sandcastles. It's because that man has no authority in that home.
Amen.
And the reason he doesn't have any authority in the home is because he has never submitted to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on in the house now.
Amen.
There's got to be a ruling factor in that home.
Amen.
And my Bible tells me that the head of every woman is the man.
Amen.
Now I know the old cliche. I'm the head and she's the neck and the neck turns the head. I'm well aware of that. But I'm telling you, if your neck's turning your head, you got problems, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Come on in the house now. It ain't time to pray. It's time to look up here and listen to what I'm telling you. It's time that men in this church became men with authority in their home and had enough grace about them and enough Bible knowledge about them to lead their wife and to lead their home and bring their homes under the authority, under his authority. If he doesn't bring that home under his authority, that home will rebel totally. You mark that down in your book. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Can I have some amens?
Amen.
As a fellow said, I have a witness.
Amen.
That man's got to be an authority.
Amen.
And most men don't have enough bristle in their britches.
Amen.
To take the authority in the hole. The old idea, if I'm ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Bless God, I take the authority and let mama stay unhappy.
Amen.
If I had to, I'd take mama over my knee.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, you wouldn't do that. Well, you just think that I wouldn't do that. I like the book John Rice wrote, Bobbed Hair, Bossy Wives, and Women Preachers. Son, I'm telling you, there's one thing I can't handle is a bossy woman.
Amen.
Now, I'll go somewhere with this if you'll just let me here a minute. I can't handle a bossy woman. Always running her mouth and telling that man what they're going to do. And that man always makes all the major decisions in the family, and she makes the minor decisions. There's only one problem. In most homes, there ain't never been a major decision made yet.
Amen.
They're all minor. And I'm telling you a fact, in most Baptist churches, the women run the home. Come on, house boys.
Yes, sir.
You know I'm telling you right.
That's
That man has got to be under the authority of Christ, knowing God's will for his life and God's will for his family, and following what Christ has gathered him to follow out of that book right there. Anybody listening? I'm trying to. I hope I can help somebody in here. But I'm telling you, hey, if that gets out of kelter, if the authority in the home is out of kelter, the authority in the church is going to be out of kelter.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you what you're going to have. You're going to have a bunch of women trying to run the church. And I'm going to tell you, as long as Gary Hall's name's on that sign out there, women ain't going to run out of Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on in the house, fellas. Ain't hey, wonder how we jerked your pants down. How many of you got lace on your drawers tonight?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Well, you know I'm telling you right. The head of every man is Christ.
Amen.
Let me ask you something, gentlemen. Are you really under the authority tonight of the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Are you following the commands of the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
I want to say to you, if you're not praying in your home with your family, you're not.
Amen.
If you're not reading your Bible in your home, you're not.
Amen.
If you're not worshiping in your home, you're not.
Amen.
If you're not loving your wife as Christ loved the church, you're not.
Amen.
Come on in the house.
Yeah.
It ain't time to pray. Now, those two offices. Now, notice very carefully. The man must submit to the authority of Christ.
Amen.
Or his wife will never submit to his authority.
Right.
I won't run that by you again. A man that will not submit to the authority of Christ, his wife will never submit to his authority.
Amen.
Because you know why? And I love you. She'll look at you as a spiritual failure. And someday that home, what you call a home, that ain't nothing but a sandcastle, when the winds blow and the rains fall and it begins to dissolve and cave in around your head, you're going to realize that Brother Hall told you right. That woman has absolutely no respect for you because you have no regard for God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Ain't we having fun?
Amen.
A lot of folks building sandcastles. Now, this is a strange authority. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Because it can only work correctly by love. That's the only way it'll ever work. The love of Christ constraineth us.
Right.
And I'm telling you, a man that loves Christ, the way he ought to love him, will have no problem submitting to his authority.
Right.
I'll be quite honest with you. When God called me to preach and told me to leave home, I wasn't too crazy about leaving home, going to a strange country and a strange people. But as far as I know, since that day I've been obedient to everything God told me to do.
Amen.
I wanted to take my education at home. God said, no, you're going to school. I didn't necessarily want to pack up and go to Greenville, South Carolina, but I packed up and went. I went to Arizona and then I come here. Now I've been here ever since. And I'm going to tell you, I love you tonight, but there have been a lot of times, if it was left up to my will, I'd have done packed up my grip from here and been gone.
Go ahead.
But it's not my will, it's thine be done, O Lord. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And I'm willing to stay and fight whatever battles has to be fought because I love Him and I know that He loves me.
Yeah.
And because I know that He loves me, I don't have any problem submitting myself to His authority and His will for my life.
Amen.
Anybody listening? You don't have any problem submitting yourself to the authority of somebody you know that loves you. Because if they love you, they're not going to do you wrong.
Amen.
Same way with a woman and a man in the home.
Right.
If that man knows how to love that woman, she'd follow him to the ends of the earth. If she knows, I mean in her heart without a doubt, that that man loves her as Christ loved the church, and He has laid Himself out for her and given Himself for her to make her happy, she'll have no problem following that man to the ends of the earth.
Go ahead now.
But I'm going to tell you, when she's the old lady, or the old hag, and I told him that, Brother Browns, my wife is not a heifer. I told him that, Brother Frankie Bryce. I said, I want you to know, and I didn't know. I said, I want you to know my wife is my sweetheart. She is not a heifer. Brother Frankie got up and told me after that service, he said, we've got a HRU club around here. I said, well, hell, I said, what in the world do you mean HRU? He said, all the women in here, they're HRUs. Heifers are us. I said, well, I see why that didn't go over too good when I said my wife wasn't a heifer. Apparently all the men in there call their wives heifers, and they like it. What woman in her right mind enjoys being called a heifer? My wife, my sweetheart. I want her to know I love her. And I think that it's my love for her. And buddy, I'm telling you, I do love that woman. I think it is my love for her that has helped her follow me everywhere God has ever led me in the ministry.
Amen.
She's been there.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you know Christ loves you, you don't hate. You upon me, it may look like it's the most terrible place you've ever been in your life. But I'm here to tell you, if God leads you there, amen. It'll be a good place for you. And the grass is not always greener on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. But yet don't grow greener on the other side. I'm telling you, the same devil is going to be anywhere you and I ever go. He's there. I couldn't help but to think when I saw these little children up here tonight putting that money in that jug. And us kind of walking around shaking hands. And the thought went through my mind, I wonder how many people in here tonight are thinking, we go through this same little stupid routine in this church every service. How can I say something to you? I don't care where you go. You'll find that they got a little routine. And they'll go through that little routine every service.
Go ahead now.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You better believe it is. Come on in the house.
Amen.
Building sandcastles.
Amen.
No authority over the wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. There's the problem. There's no problem with Christ loving us. But the problem comes when we fail to love our wives in like manner. I want to say secondly, daddies, you better come on in the house now. Let me say number two. A daddy not only has authority over that, he's not only the head of that wife. That makes him the head over the family.
Amen.
That makes him head over his children. And I'm telling you, you can like this or hump it, jump it, dump it. It don't make no difference to Brother Hall. But I'm telling you, if you don't bring your children under some kind of authority and rule down the road somewhere, they're going to break your heart.
Amen.
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 better learn to teach them that all of their life they're going to be under authority of some kind. It's like this one preacher, I can't remember who it was, said he was preaching one time. Said he got done preaching on a particular service in a revival meeting. Said he's at the back of the door. Said this young teenage boy come up to him. Said, well, said, I appreciate the preaching tonight, but said, I'm leaving here in a few days. Said, I'm going to join the army. He said, you are? Said, what's the, what are you joining the army for? He said, I'm getting tired of being under somebody's authority. Yeah. Oh, how stupid. Yeah. You don't know nothing about authority until an E6 gets up in your face about 4 o'clock in the morning and tells you, boy, your breath smells like a Missouri mule's breath. Did you brush your teeth yet? Sir, I just woke up. And then he commences to tell you he's not sir, he's sergeant. And in the morning at 4 o'clock, you better have your teeth brushed and ready to roll. That's right. I'm talking about authority. And I'm saying, it don't matter. I don't care how old you get. God has got that order. And there's going to be authority in your life. I don't care where you go.
Amen.
Now you go down on the job and you say, I'm not going to be under nobody's authority down there. You won't work there very long. Well, I just won't work. I'll just be a beatnik. I'll just roam the roads. Yeah, until mom and daddy's money quits buying the gas. And then you can't run the roads no more. You're going to have to pay that gas some way. What I'm saying is, children and parents alike, and I'm not trying to be ugly or mean. I'm trying to help us tonight. I'm telling you that that man needs to be a figurehead in the family of authority.
Amen.
Not taking a... Not browbeating his wife, but loving her into subjection. And that's right, and ruling over those children. Do you know that the Bible teaches you can even rule over a rebellious son? He can be rebellious, and yet you can rule over him.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe that. I wish we could resurrect my daddy and let him tell you about it. My daddy ruled over several rebellious boys.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, when we was around daddy, I remember one time that I was in the, went to the big room. I had the big room and the little room at Underwood. One first grades 1 through 4 in the little room, grades 5 through 8 in the big room. Boy, I couldn't wait to get in the big room. That's where the big boys went, you know. And I got in the big room. And what was that old lady's name that taught? Mrs. Erickson. I called her Mrs. Erickson. Son, that woman was something else. I don't remember. I'd just done something little, something trivial. She made me stand with my nose in a ring in the blackboard. And I thought, you wait till I get home. I'm going to tell my daddy on this old woman, buddy. I went home and said, Daddy ain't going to believe this. I said, that old woman down there made me stick my nose in a ring. He said, what was you doing? I said, well, just doing what I forget what it was. And I told him, and said, she stood you up and put your nose in a ring, huh? I said, sure did. He said, well, put your nose in that corner over there a while. And I knew what was coming. I gritted my teeth, buddy, because I knew what. The nose in the corner meant the belt on the hind end. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When I done something wrong at school and got her down at school, I'm telling you, I got her at home. Somebody said, did it hurt you? Only the hind end, that's all. It ain't hurt nothing else. Now, I'm telling you, you can't rule over a rebellious son or a rebellious daughter if you do it. I had a rebellious daughter. And according to Bible principles, I ruled over that girl correctly.
Amen.
Now the bottom line of it's this. If you're not under the authority of Christ, you're building a sandcastle. Because if you're not under the authority of Christ, sir, then your family's not going to walk under your authority because they are going to know what you really are. Now, I know this kind of preaching ain't popular. I said a long time ago it may be hard to live with, but it'd be good to die by.
Amen.
That's right. Miss Hall, don't give me a bit of trouble. I bust her, bless God. And you know I ain't going to do that. I'm going to tell you, a man hit a woman. He is a low-down, dirty, conniving, double-crossing, egg-sucking, lily-livered, bow-legged devil. Amen!
Amen!
Don't take a man to beat up on a woman, fellas.
Amen.
That's right. Trying to find out where I'm at. Submit to the leadership of Christ, and a woman will submit to the leadership of the man. Guarantee on that. Love must be given and received. It must be given and received. I want to say secondly, not only must we have authority in the home, but I've already mentioned it, can't tolerate abuse in the home. The Lord would never abuse one of His children. Come on in the house now. I read about in the papers, and it makes me madder than a wet hornet. These idiots that want to pick on these little kids and abuse these little children. I'm telling you, I'm all in for lynching every stinking one of them pedophiles that walks. Amen.
Amen.
Hang them up by their toes. I wouldn't give a flip, buddy.
Right.
Turn them over to Ali Akbar and let him cut their heads off. It ain't going to bother me at all. But hey, correction on children need to be correct. You're not to abuse a woman, and you're not to abuse that child.
Yeah.
And by the way, there is such a thing as verbal abuse.
Amen.
Screaming and hollering all the time. Commotion, I'm telling you. Hey, who was the fella that said that he had a soft voice, but he carried a big stick? Was that Patton? Who was it? Churchill? You know who it was. Huh? Roosevelt! Said he had a soft voice, but he carried a big stick. Now, I mean, hey, that's right. You don't have to scream at your children
right.
to the top of your lungs to make them mind if you have taught them right. My daddy could look at me, buddy, and I knew to shut up. If I said, but, he said, and I'd say a word. I'm a bit all surprised that Brother Robert didn't do all the same way, didn't he? He must not have. Maybe that's why you're so stinking rebellious, boy. Miss Sue, come over here and give him 40 lashes, save one. No, I'm serious. I'm trying to put some humor into it because I know it's kind of difficult. And I'm not trying to be hard, no. But I'm telling you the truth. When you lose your control, if you lose your control, your child is going to know that they have controlled you. If they get under you and nettle you and you lose your control, they control you. You don't control them. Better believe that's right. And they know it. They're not dumb.
Right.
And they know what it takes and what they can get by with, too.
Amen.
They know how far they can go. And there ain't too many Aunt Nellies left in this world anymore. Poor Aunt Nellie, I'm telling you, every time we'd get in trouble, we'd run up to her house. Daddy'd come flying up through there after us. She'd say, now, Truman said, these good boys. I thought in my mind, boy, she only knew the truth, boy. Wasn't no good boy. I deserved every stripe I got and 100 more on top of it. Smoking stupid corn cob pipes out in the hog pens and grinding up them little old coffee beans and smoking them and one thing and another, stealing vegetables out of Uncle Chester's vegetable garden. I mean, that's all kind of stuff. But we are in the wintertime, fit of snow, we'd go down the road and roll up great big snowballs in the edge of the woods. Go up the hill a little ways, roll up snowballs, and put them out in the road. Here'd come a car down this way. When it got by these snowballs, we'd run down and roll them snowballs out in the middle of the road. And that car couldn't go that way or that way. I'm going to tell you, in the wintertime now, in the winter, cold outside, snow on the ground, Them old cars back them days didn't have very good heaters. I mean, so I could have froze to death. We ought to have been stopped for that. And if my daddy had known I was doing it, we would have been stopped for it. You know what me and my brother done one time, Jeremy? This, our mail carrier, Gilbert Matthews, every day, he'd leave a note in the mailbox. Mr. Hall, your mailbox is 1 inch too high. Next day, it'd be, Mr. Hall, your mailbox is a quarter inch too low. Mr. Hall, your mailbox is 3/4 inch too high. I mean, it was every day. Me and my brother got tired of that. We went and found the meanest old tomcat in the country we could find. Turned him around tail first, shoved him in that mailbox, and shut the lid on him. And that tomcat stayed in that mailbox all night long. And old Gilbert Matthews opened that mailbox that morning. That cat shot out of there through that window and in that car. Him and tomcat both come out of clawing, buddy. I'm telling you, it's on and out on. If my daddy had known that, though, he'd have thought my hide for it. And he ought to. I'm putting bad ideas in you boys' head in here tonight. I'm supposed to be preaching right, trying to help some of y'all, and I'm putting bad ideas in these kids' head. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, come on now, that if Christ is your authority in your head, and you love your wife the way you ought to love her, she won't have any problem submitting to your authority. And if you love Christ, and your wife loves Christ, and she's submitted to you, your children will fall in line. You can bring them up right. You can train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And you don't have to be mean to a child and beat a child half to death. Some of them's got soft feelings. You just speak to them, and that's about all it takes. And others is pretty hard-headed. You got to tan their backside, buddy. And I'm telling you, I want you to listen to me. I'm telling you right. If you let them get by with murder now, by the time they get 16, 17, 18 years old, they just about got too old to do anything with. Amen. I'm telling them, it'll just be by the grace of God if you can get them in church when they get old enough to fly the coop. It'll just be by the grace of God. You don't have to abuse a child. You have to raise them up and nurture the admonition of the Lord. Now I'm trying to quit. Really. I'm looking for my next point. Can't even find it. Trying to skip some things so we can hurry up. Oh, some of you men, by the way, do you want to complain about the wife's house? You gripe about what the house looks like? I wrote this down in my notes whenever I preached this message. I said, I wonder if Miss Ruth could teach all day long in the classroom, cook 3 meals, do the laundry for 10 children, and clean the house, and look real pretty for you when you get home in the evening. Some of you men work all day and work hard, but I'm going to tell you, some of you men don't realize what your wife does at home either, buddy. She's tried. She has been there with that bunch of rugrats, yard apes. She's tried to teach them and educate them at home for you. She's tried to cook your meal, wash your clothes, iron your clothes, keep your house up. And if she ain't got supper on the table when you think she ought to, the first thing you do when you pop in the door is you pop your gums. That's right.
Yep.
She'll go through a lot for you, Jacob. And I believe I know Elizabeth well enough that if you'll follow God, she'll follow you. But you men are going to have to follow God. Amen. The point I'm trying to get across tonight. That I believe God loves this church and wants to send revival to this church.
Amen.
And I've got enough sense to know that the church is only going to be as strong as our homes are.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Amen.
You're going to have to support the wife. And then there must be admonition. I've already covered some of this. I mean caution, and I mean warning in the home. Herod warned Joseph about coming back in to Galilee with Jesus. He turned and went down into Egypt. Now I'm telling you, there. Hey, you better take caution and issue some warnings. I'm talking about admonition. You better warn your children when they're wrong. And I'm going to say something. You hear what I'm getting ready to tell you? If they're wrong, and you know they're wrong, and you agree with them that they're right when you know they're wrong, you are well on your way to destroying that child. Do you think Jesus would ever tell us we're right when we're wrong? Do you think He would let wrong go undone? Do you think that He would not warn us when we're going astray? Sure He would. And does. And us men better warn our families. When they're unruly and going astray, we better learn to warn them, admonish them, caution them, tell them. Then he carried these little girls out the other night. I told him after church, I said, "What did you do when you went out there?" He said, "What do you think I'd done?" I said, "Better be careful, bud. But I got enough sense to know I'm just carrying. I'm glad that he's got enough love for his family, even when they're little, to try to correct them." Now, it hurts. Have anybody in here has heard me tell the story about Tammy and Benny? It was. In Greenville, they got in an argument. And I went in the room and I said, "Well, what do y'all think?" Both of them were snubbing and carrying on. "We need a whipping, Daddy. Go ahead and whip us." I said, "Yeah, you need a whipping." And I said, "I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do." I said, "You know Jesus died for you, didn't he?" "We know that, Daddy." I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what." I said, "Jesus, you should have died on that cross." "Yeah, Daddy, we know that." And I said, "Jesus died for you." "Yeah, Daddy, we know that." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Jesus took your whipping on the cross." And I've been over the bed and I said, "Now you whip me." "Hey, we can't whip you." I said, "Oh, you're going to. You are going to whip me." And I made both of them whip me to teach them that Christ took their whipping. There's a lot of lessons in correction that we can take and make and build homes and not sandcastles. Build a house that will stand the wind and the rain and the floods that come against it. It'll stand. If that man is the authoritative figure in the home and he loves his wife right, they correct their children properly, you can build a home and it'll stand. Now I'm going to tell you, there'll be times you'll think surely to God it's going to fall. I watched mine as our kids grew up, and I thought, man, it was this way and this way, and I thought, it ain't going to make it. I remember one night I left here to go to Greenville, South Carolina after Tammy, and all the way down there, the devil's telling me, "It ain't going to make it, buddy. Your home ain't going to make it." But 24 hours later, I saw a little red car come pulling in up the driveway. Matter of fact, it's around Christmas. And we'd eat down, some of you remember the year we ate down at the truck stop for Christmas dinner. And when we got back, and I went up over that hill on Timmons Lane, there sat that little red car. And she'd come home. But I'm telling you, the house will stand if you just do right. Old Dr. Bob Jones said that even if the stars fall from heaven, just do right. And if you'll just do right, I'll guarantee you,
We got kids here. Benny and Angie's got little kids they're raising. Cinda's got one getting ready to be born. Robert and Sharon's got a little bitty boy and a little. Doug and Lisa's got a little boy, little girl. Brother Ricky's got a little boy. Brother Martin back there's got little kids. Jacob and Elizabeth's got a hope. But I want to see them. I want to see your home stand. And it can. It can. If you follow Bible principles. Let's stand together.